Welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast, where we unlock the winning edge through conversations with industry experts and thought leaders. Each episode explores how transforming business through human experience creates real impact. Join us for actionable insights and fresh perspectives that inspire success. Follow, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite platform. The next episode could spark your next big idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast. Today, really thrilled because I'm connected to Australia and with Luke Jamieson. Hi, Luke. How are you?
I am so good. How are you?
Great. If I can have a discussion with you, I'm quite pumped because I am sure that in the next 30 minutes, I will learn a lot and I am super keen. And I need to say, I'm a big fan of your show. Therefore, let's first introduce yourself and then I can ask some question about your 20s. That's such a cool show. First of all, today we're going to discuss about the way of working change, building human-centered companies that really focus on how people work and what we can do around that. But before we deep dive in this topic, Luke, could you please introduce yourself?
Okay. So, Luke Jamieson, I'm from Australia, if you can't tell from the accent. And I don't know what you want to know about me, but look, I am just genuinely passionate about customer experience as a whole. I love employee engagement, this idea of employee engagement, and I like to do things a little bit differently. And honestly, if you want to know about me, then go and check out LinkedIn and let's connect and let's have a real connection. And I promise if you connect with me, I will actually say hello and not just accept your connection. So let's do it that way.
That's great. Thank you very much for these special introductions. Before I ask about your values, you are very active, not only on LinkedIn, but you have different shows and so on. At least this one, I think you should share that with us and do some product placement about your products.
Oh, about 2020-ish? Sure. Look, Michael Mattson, if you don't know him, you should go and connect with him. He is such an awesome human being and just so genuine and just lovely. And he is a great connector of people. And he reached out to me on LinkedIn, you know, a year or so ago. And we just had this instant connection. And we started to talk about how we could create some different content that maybe is a bit more bite-sized and not so long form. And we came up with this idea of what if we could interview like 20 CX people really quickly. And 2020-ish was born because it was more than just 20 people. It was 21, 22, then came 23. And look, we just have a whole heap of fun with it. We're so blessed that so many people, so many amazing CX leaders want to be a part of it. We genuinely got blown away by how many people wanted to be part of it. And if I might say, you are going to be on season two. So we're very excited about that. I'm just excited about being able to say your name week after week. It's one of the best names in the world to say. Gregorio Ugliani. Oh my God, what a name.
Thank you very much. But now you are putting pressure on me because I need to deliver. Thank you very much for doing that. And second thing, I understand.
You've got it on me now, so it's a serve return.
And now I get also your feedback from the beginning that you said we want to create some new content very short. Thank you for the feedback. My podcast is boring, I know that. But
Not at all, man.
This time it's you. You need to make it entertaining. You need to make it engaging. And therefore, all the pressure now, it's on you.
All right, let's go. I've got the soccer ball. The football, and I'm aiming right at you. Let's go.
Super. Then let's score some goals together. But before we're discussing about goals, for me, it's extremely interesting, and I'm keen to ask this question. Which values drive your professional life?
Honestly, it's the number one goal has to be just being authentic, just authenticity, and just being me, and unapologetically me. I might have said this a few times before, but you know, I used to get really conscious of how I spoke and my Australian accent and that I would come across a little bit bogan, which is, you know, I don't know if there's probably equivalent terms like a redneck in America or I don't know what it is in Europe, but I got to a point where I'm like, I'm just going to steer into it and just be me and be authentic and then just share the things that I'm passionate about. And I actually don't care what you think. So that's that. I think being authentic in everything I do is super important, and just challenging the norm, you know, just being a little bit audacious. So that would be my other value. Be audacious. It could be seen as a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think it's worth, you know, closed mouths don't get fed, as they say. So ask, if you want something, ask about it. If you've got a view on it, say it. And if you are wrong, accept that, learn from it. And the only way you can learn is by sharing your opinions, somebody else sharing theirs. And you might open up your mind to a whole new way of thinking. And that has been how I've approached life and work and everything that comes with that.
Following you since a while and having this discussion and also a short pre-discussion, we are feeling your authenticity and therefore really like that, really. And yes, you don't care about the feedback of others, but it's really genuine, and this is what I really like and enjoy when I'm following you, when I'm listening to your content or reading what you are writing to us. Let's kick off the game. The way of working change, building human-centered companies. How is the future of work transforming the way business approach customer experience?
Look, I think from a transformation perspective and how we approach customer experience, I think it is becoming a bit more holistic in the approach, right? I think we are starting to, I think the pandemic made us realize that there is different ways of working. That then exposed us to people's lounge rooms and bedrooms and a whole bunch of other stuff that we might not want to know about. But we started to see each other a little bit more as humans. And I think that's a good thing. I think, you know, look, it's a hot topic at the moment about getting back in the office and all that sort of stuff. But I think by and large, there's an acceptance that we need to have flexibility. Now, is the future of work from home? I don't think so. Is it hybrid? Maybe. Is it flexible? Absolutely. I think that organizations will have, the organizations that will win are the ones that will create flexibility in how we work. And I think that is regardless of what profession you're in. I think there is ways to be flexible in how we approach work.
I like that. And a lot of people are speaking or were speaking about work-life balance. I think now with these flexibility topics, what I'm always getting more and more, it's the integration of the working piece with what you're doing privately that need to integrate and also cope with everything what you are doing. You have a family, I have a family. However, we are very passionate. We want to deliver what we are doing, but we can also take some time breaks,
so
be the family.
100%, 100%. And this is let's talk about this from a customer experience perspective, right? When we think about customer experience, we're often looking at friction and finding friction, and how do we remove that? And it's the same from an employee engagement perspective, right? From a workplace perspective. If we're creating all this friction by having these stringent work hours and times and having to be and not allowing people to be flexible, we instantly create friction within a workplace. And if you've got friction, you're not enjoying it. If you're not enjoying it, you're probably not that engaged. And then that flows on through to the customer, right? So flexibility is just about finding friction and removing it.
And also from a customer point of view, as a customer a few days ago, I was renewing, and how can I share that without saying the name? Yeah, a newspaper. I wanted to keep a newspaper. Now, let's find that a global, very well-known newspaper about economy. And I wrote to them at 11 p.m. my time that I wanted to renew, but I wanted to have some changes in my subscriptions. And then my wife said, but are you writing to them at 11 p.m.? They are closed. And I said, I opened the chat pop-up and I was able to chat with them and to change what I wanted. And basically for me was, yes, the reality is I was speaking with a human being. I was aware of that. It was great. He was on the other side of the world, Therefore, for him, it was not 11 p.m., but it was the right point in time because I wanted to do that. And I think this flexibility as a customer and as a company is really key.
Agreed.
And I trained a lot before recording to pronounce this word. I hope that I can do that. You shared this observability. And what role does observability play in understanding and improving customer experience?
Oh, Gregory, this is something that's pretty new to me, I'll be honest. But I've spent a bit of time in the tech world and startups and that sort of stuff in the past. And I've also set up a few contact centers. And you know, just through those interactions, you end up meeting with IT and partnering with IT, and you learn a few things through that process. And one of the things that's kind of come to light recently is this observability's been around, but it's been in the domain of IT, where they observe system health and making sure that it's all working and not falling over, right? And it all just happens in the background, and so that we can get on with our jobs. But I had this, I started to think, well, that is, how good is, like, we underestimate IT for their ability to create a great customer experience, even internally. And I thought, well, what if we had these tools from a customer experience perspective? Imagine we had tools that could tell us real time that where there is friction and where things aren't working from both an employee's perspective and also from a customer's perspective. And in that journey, where is it that we're seeing that friction? And so this idea of having CX observability and platforms that could tell us that, hey, maybe a customer can't hear you, or maybe that there's, I don't know, that your internet's not good enough at home or something like that. So this idea of having CX observability and where there is a friction, and being able to see that in a whole landscape like this, I've been calling it a frictionscape, right? And being able to see all of this in one space and say, there's friction, let's remove it real time, instead of just thinking about customer journey maps, I should say, that are just static and on a wall. Like, how do we make this real time and live? And so this idea of CX observability, and look, I've been diving into that pretty heavy and getting right down a rabbit hole. And recently I met with a company here in Melbourne that actually is trying to create some solutions for that. And I thought that was pretty cool. They let me get in and have a look under the hood and see that in real time. And I was honestly, that's where I just got fascinated by the fact that you could see so much data, and there were so many incredible stories coming out of this data, where customers were struggling and where customers were and where employees were struggling, and this real-time data that they could solve. And I think that there's this idea of CX observability is this data-driven decisions around creating, you know, frictionless experiences for customers and employees. I think it's definitely the future of CX, in my opinion.
Really cool, really interesting topic. Also, other podcasters are sharing this idea in a bit different way. They want to mix data with artificial intelligence and using behavioral science in order to understand better customer and to leverage that. But you said you were in the rabbit hole and you came out trying to understand that. Could you please share what are your biggest learning, also perhaps focusing on being more proactive with our customer, offering personalized experiences, and whatever you find out?
Yeah, look, Let me think about some of the stories that I saw. Like one of the stories that I was thinking about, and we were touching on it before, right? About return to work and back to the office. We need to have a reason why we've got to come back to the office. There needs to be beyond just some company saying, we just need you back in there because we don't know how to manage properly because we've got poor management skills and we can't remote manage, or we've got a sunk cost bias and we've built this big building that we need to now have everybody in. There needs to be a why and a purpose that's going to really drive someone to want to be back. If you could show that the experience for a customer is better if you're working in the office, that's a much better story. if there is, you know, one of these, this idea of when observability, we think things are working okay. So, you know, observability actually gives you a holistic picture. So it might be working for you, but does that mean it's working for the customer? And being able to see this 360 degree view of what's happening, that's what I found really interesting. You know, and one of the other examples was this company that I was looking at some of the data. Nearly 40% of calls for this one agent there was only one way audio. Now, the customer was struggling to hear. And that's because they'd had a Teams meeting with their manager and their one-on-one catch-up, and Teams stole the microphone. And so then when they jumped back on the phone, put their headset on, they could hear everything perfectly in their headset, but the customer couldn't hear them properly because the microphone wasn't using the boom mic. Now, that sounds so simple and maybe silly, but when we think about what does that mean from a customer's perspective? Now, there's a couple of research papers that came out. One from USC and one from Australian University, ANU, that people, when you can't hear somebody properly, your trust is eroded. So instantly, trust is eroded. And I think it was, I'll have to share the article with you, but I think it was around like 38%, right, of trust is instantly eroded because they can't hear you properly. And when we think about that in the context of CX, like, how important is it that we just have really awesome audio when we're speaking to somebody and having that ability to have a really good connection? So look, if we zoom back out and we think about what does observability mean? It's this ability to be able to see things in a 360 degree view. It's not just your view that something is or isn't working. It's a customer's view as well. It's an organization's view. And I think that's pretty interesting.
That's really cool. But I know that you're sharing also another topic. What do you mean by senses of engagement, and how can we leverage that also?
Oh, let's dive in, because this, you know, I know this is meant to be a short podcast, but man, we could go for hours.
I'm super happy to do that with you.
Look, I think the way we've thought about engagement in the past is a bit broken, you know, and we approach it in this extrinsic way. So we have organizations have reward and recognition programs, and yet how we reward someone is not necessarily how we all feel valued. And so the senses of engagement comes from, and look, there's you know, there's some pretty what's the word? There's some thought out there on this, right? There's some purpose, meaning that's the kind of roles that we need, having a sense of purpose, having a sense of meaning, having a sense of belonging. And there, that's absolutely true. And but that's sort of, I think that's just touching the surface. You know, I think there's all these other senses of engagement, right? This sense of, a sense of growth, a sense of achievement, a sense of excitement, a sense of self, a sense of trust, a sense of community, a sense of belonging. You know, and once we start to pull all those together, and I think that the sense of belonging is the very last one, right? Because you can't have a sense of belonging unless you have all of these other things lined up. If you don't have a sense of community, you can't have a sense of belonging. If you don't have a sense of purpose, then how are you aligned to anything that's within your organization? If you don't have a sense of the senses of engagement are far reaching, and I think that we need to think more about how do we tap into those, how do we drive those senses, how do we drive those senses of engagement versus just throwing reward and recognition, and maybe we'll touch on recognition later, but how do we stop just throwing prizes and just rewarding the top people and the top performers, and start recognizing or start appreciating what everybody brings to this an organization or a department or a team?
I think you share that we need to touch it. I think this is extremely important. Every contribution counts. big, small, everything, it's relevant. And this recognition, it's different for everybody. And this is something that I didn't find out. It's something listening to podcasts, reading books. Gary Vaynerchuk is sharing that like that. Perhaps in your 20s, you want to earn more money and to get more money, that you have enough to live and to do whatever you want. In your 30s, perhaps you want to spend more time with your beloved and so on. In your 40s, you want to be with your family. And therefore, every phase of the life, it's a bit different. And therefore, you should recognize also the people in a different way. Somebody wants money, somebody wants more time, somebody wants more flexibility, as you shared earlier. What's your view on that?
I think that that's true. I think that as we evolve, our desires and what drives us changes for sure. I do also think, though, that the pandemic changed us in such a fundamental way. I think it was a reset for everybody. We started to say, what do I value most? You know, and that's where we saw like the Great Resignation. The Great Resignation was about finding what is meaningful to you and doing that reset and aligning your own values and purpose to the work that you do. So I think that, yeah, as things change in your life and as you want to spend more time and with family, we don't recognize that, right? We don't recognize that in the current structure of how most organizations, I'm not going to say every organization, but most organizations don't recognize that in their structure of reward and recognition. It is achieve your KPIs and you will get a bonus. Your employee of the month. Yeah. Like we're going to run a competition. Like it just becomes this like binary, you do this, you get that. And I think humans are way more complex than that. We are not binary beings. And sure, there is going to be people who are really driven by that and they will achieve those goals. But the problem with that is that they leapfrog these other employees who are hardworking, are dedicated, have the right values, but they might not be able to achieve those KPIs in their entirety. Yet what they bring is so much more. Maybe they're the SME and the coach that's coaching somebody else in their department, right? Are they getting recognized for that? Are they appreciated for that? And if they're not, then they either stop doing it, and then that has a flow-on impact to the people in the organization. Or they start to get disgruntled because people are getting recognized even though for doing things that are deemed as more important. And so they then feel devalued and less appreciated. And that then erodes this idea of engagement. You know, they become less engaged. Your engagement is eroded every time you start to devalue what somebody brings to that organization. So we need to rethink how we recognize and appreciate people.
I think now it's time to call Michael and ask him for 20 hours to three to have the discussion, because there are a lot of topics to discuss. I would like to ask 200 additional questions, but taking care of your time and the audience time, I would ask you perhaps if you could join in the future and we deep dive on one of these two topics or on both observability and the topic of engagement and then related recognition. Now we are coming to an end of this discussion. I still have three questions for you. Fast forward. In 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
Really interesting. Really, that's you know, when we talk about like predictions and stuff like that, we predict that so much is going to happen in the next like 10 years. But then nothing happens for 5, and then it all happens at the last minute kind of thing. I think look, right now it's hard to see past AI, and it's hard to see past how we're going to be when we start getting like bots talking to bots and they just take over the CX experience. So what I think we'll be talking about in 10 years is when AI takes over all of our tasks and we have all this time back and we don't have to work 40-hour weeks and we're only working maybe 15, 20 hours a week, we're going to be talking about what is the most important things that we're working on in those 20 hours. are we working on? Because we'll be working on really exciting stuff, I reckon. I think we'll be working on the things that get us out of bed and get us excited, like making podcasts. We'll be talking about saving the world and our big missions that get us excited. And we'll be talking about these white glove services where there's human to human interaction and we're really enjoying this life where we're truly connected because we don't have to worry about all the tasks that we're doing and all the to-do list because AI is taking over a lot of those things for us. And so all of a sudden, I think we're going to be talking about the truest next evolution of human connection.
That's so cool. And this point in time, I would really like to be and feel this new way of working, new way of being there. You mentioned that we can contact you on LinkedIn, but I know that you have also a YouTube channel. Do you want to share that also with us?
Yeah, look, jump on, yeah, YouTube. It's at LukeCXEX. It's the same as my, it's not Twitter anymore. We call it Zitter, my Zitter handle. And you can also check out my website. It's lukejamison.live. And you can email me there too. G'day, good old Aussie way of saying it. G'day at lukejamison.live. And yeah, LinkedIn. But LinkedIn's my home, man. So just come meet me there. Come say g'day.
To the audience, you will find all the information also in the show notes. And now the last question, it's Luke's golden nugget. It's something we discussed or something new to leave to the audience with.
Golden nugget is start showing appreciation, because appreciation is an outside-in way of doing things. It's beyond recognition. So if we need to evolve reward and recognition, it should now just be a culture of appreciation, because when you appreciate someone, they accept that, and what builds inside them is gratitude. And then when gratitude flows out, it becomes something that drives better engagement. And that gratitude builds pride and all the things that make us really happy to be where we are and give our best. So appreciation in, gratitude out.
Luke, thank you very much. Or I rephrase that and I say, I really appreciate the time with you. I really appreciate that you accepted my invitation. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, I am just thrilled to have been here. It's awesome to finally connect, and to our audience, until next time. And as always, huru.
Thank you very much. Luke, please stay with me. To the audience, it's everything for today. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me or contact Luke. I really, please follow Luke's work and what he's doing, and the 22nd season and all the future ones, because it's really cool and you get a lot of insights in a very packed content. Thank you very much and bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business, we are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you!